The following is a sermon by Pastor Ralph Abernathy of Mount Olive Lutheran Church, located in Newton, North Carolina.
In the name of Jesus, amen. I see some of you are wearing black. I've got on black. I see others with black. Black seems to be the adornment of our sanctuary this evening. That is because today is Good Friday, because today is the day the church remembers and commemorates our Lord's death. Blackness enveloped him there on the cross. The heavens grew dark. The earth quaked when he died. The heavens grew dark because God the Creator was dying. God the Creator was being murdered by his creatures. God the Creator had come into the world to be the sacrifice for sin. Not sin in the abstract, but real sin. Sin sinned by real human beings. My sin, your sin. Jesus died for those sins. And so the darkness of death enveloped him. So we have the black shrouding the crosses here. The black does represent Jesus' death, but it represents more than that. It represents the sin that kills us, that has killed every son and daughter of Adam since Adam and Eve ate from the forbidden tree. This sin separates us from God, Scripture says. This sin makes us enemies of God. This sin estranges us from God. So that, as David says, we are born sinful and unclean. That is the reality. That is the explanation of the fact that all human beings die. Some of you have lost loved ones this year or within the past year to death. Some of you can think of loved ones who are seriously ill and who are facing death. Death is no stranger to the human race, and the human race is no stranger to death. But God cannot die, can he? God is spirit. Spirit is immortal, eternal. That's what we confess of God in the creeds. That's what the scriptures say of God. The hymn says, immortal, invisible, God only wise. So how can God possibly die? Well, that is the mystery of Good Friday. That is the mystery of the incarnation and the point and purpose of the incarnation, so that the Creator of all things could enter into creation and have a human body like yours and mine, with a heart that pumps blood, with lungs that take in and expel oxygen, with muscles that propel the body, with sensitive nerves that can feel pain, with tear ducts that can cry. And yet one thing about this Jesus is that he was without sin. That is the point and purpose of the virgin birth. Otherwise, the Son of God would be just a mere human being like us. Nothing special about him. But the fact that he is conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary, no man involved in his conception, makes him without sin, not heir to the sin of Adam. He is born holy and righteous and innocent. And throughout his life, he lived holily and righteously and innocently. And when he died holily and righteously and innocently. But God did not treat him that way. God did not treat his son as the righteous one. Instead, God treated his son like the worst sinner of all. Think for a minute about the things you have done that shame you the most. The things that you would not want anyone to know about. The gossiping, the secret anger, the vandalism you committed when you were a child, the lusts, the thieveries, the covetousness, the times you have used God's name not as a prayer, not to call upon him in times of need, but as a curse, taking that holy, sacred name and using it as something blasphemous and unclean upon your lips. Think about those things and then multiply them by every human being who has ever lived, every human being who is alive today, every human being who ever will live, the murderers, the arsonists, the rapists, the thieves, the cutthroats, the adulterers, the slanderers, the gossips, the blasphemers, the idolaters. That is what God hates, and that is what God punished in the person of his own dear son. On Ash Wednesday, we heard how Jesus became sin for us, how he who is holy and without sin became sin, became something unclean, something despisable in God's eyes, something worthy of being thrown on the scrap heap of the universe. That's Jesus on the cross. And so it wasn't merely just death that enveloped Jesus. It wasn't merely our sins that enveloped Jesus. But it was the very blackness of hell which enveloped Jesus, as his Father's wrath against the sin of the world. That sin whose number, whose ugliness, whose filthiness in the eyes of God we can only guess at. That is the sin that Jesus was condemned for. And that is why he came to die. Wasn't a good Friday for Jesus, certainly not according to his human nature. None of us would call it a good Friday if it had been us who had been betrayed, who had been arrested, who had been convicted on false charges, who had been tortured and beaten and despised and mocked. If we had been nailed to the cross, it would not be a good Friday for us. It would be only what we deserve. But we call it Good Friday because there, on that day, the Lamb of God was taking away in his own person the sin of the world. He was removing it as far as the east is from the west, as far as Alpha Centauri is from the earth, an unimaginable distance, because your sin is on you no more. Jesus carried it away. Jesus was punished for that sin. Jesus shed his blood for that sin. And when he gave up his spirit, Jesus said, "It is finished." It's finished. The work of your salvation is accomplished. It's finished. The debt of sin which you owed to the holy and righteous God has been paid. It is finished. No longer are you an enemy of God, but for Jesus' sake, through your baptism into his death and into his resurrection, God becomes your Father. God names you as his beloved son, his beloved daughter. God says, you are righteous and holy in my sight for the sake of my son who died for the sin of the whole world. It is finished. That's good news. That's what makes this Friday a good Friday. Because no longer need we fear God's wrath. No longer need we wonder, have I been good enough to make it into heaven? Have I lived a good enough life? Have I done enough good works? Survey the wondrous cross if that is what you ask yourself. Look to the Son of God who was nailed on that cross. The Son of God who was enveloped in darkness. The Son of God who carried away your sin. The Son of God who was condemned in your place on account of that sin. Look not to your own works. Look not into your own heart. But survey the cross on which your Prince of Glory died. Jesus gave up his spirit. He bowed his head, said, "It is finished," and he died. And it was the day before the Passover. It was a very high Sabbath. And the Jews came to ask Pontius Pilate if the legs of Jesus and the two criminals crucified with him could be broken so they could no longer raise themselves up and breathe and they would die more quickly. So the soldiers came with something like a 4x4 or a sledgehammer and they broke the legs of the two thieves. But when they came to Jesus, they saw that he had already died. It was finished. So they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers took his spear, and he pierced Jesus' side with that spear. And John emphasizes in the gospel that at once there came out blood and water. He who saw it has borne witness, John writes, that you also may believe these things. This is important. As John writes in his first epistle, this is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not by the water only, but by the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood, and these three agree. John is writing by the Holy Spirit when he says he saw these things. And here's what I want you to think about. Here's what I want you to contemplate. Remember Adam? When it came time for God to make a wife for him, and the Lord caused Adam to fall into a deep sleep, and then he took one of Adam's ribs out of his side, and he fashioned it into a woman, and there was Adam's bride, Eve, bone of his bones and flesh of his flesh. Jesus is the second Adam, Scripture says, and from his side comes a bride for him, the Holy Christian Church. Out of his pierced side comes water and blood, the water of the church's baptism, the blood of the Holy Sacrament. These are the means by which Jesus creates his bride and sustains his bride. And through your baptism into Christ, you have become a member of Christ, a member of his bride, bone of his bones, flesh of his flesh, for he became bone of your bones and flesh of your flesh. And he loves you as a member of his bride, and he sustains you and refreshes you with the holy sacrament of his body and his blood in communion. And so as often as we gather to eat and drink this sacrament, we remember the Lord's death until he comes again, because he is coming again, for he rose from the dead. But that's a story for another day, for tomorrow evening, and for Sunday, the festival of the resurrection. But until then, remember these words, for they are the words that Jesus, your Savior, has spoken to you. It is finished. The work of your salvation is complete. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, your Savior. Amen.